On our broadcast tonight, travel torments, sloppy roads, hundreds of flights now canceled as a messy winter storm threatens Thanksgiving plans for millions. Fury spreading far beyond the borders of Ferguson, Missouri now. Protesters blocking highways, clashing with police, and hundreds are now under arrest from coast to coast. The gift of life from a college student to a Vietnam veteran and the extraordinary moment cameras were there to capture. And holiday cheer, the trip of a lifetime for high school squads from across this country joining in the biggest Thanksgiving tradition there is. Nightly News begins now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams.
Good evening. You see it right there on the big board. And if you're expecting someone on this Thanksgiving Eve, and if they are caught in the web of this big weather system we are covering, then, as they say, allow extra time. This one started in the Gulf of Mexico, churned north. It's making a mess. 650 flights have been canceled tonight. Over 3,000 flights delayed. These are the flights currently aloft over much of the U.S. And outside of this weather, if you're with us tonight from Scottsdale or Sacramento or Sarasota, wondering what the big deal is, you may also be waiting for loved ones to arrive. They may well be affected by the transportation pileup this weather is causing with so many people on the move. It is where we begin tonight. Tom Costello covers transportation for us, and so he's got a lot to cover tonight. Hey, Tom, good evening.
Good evening, Brian. It's been a real mess on the road, in the air. You mentioned those numbers. Those numbers are not really extreme given this nor'easter. That said, this has been a day of high anxiety and high stress and high inconvenience for many people. Up and down the East Coast on this Thanksgiving Eve, a day of snow, slush, and slop, largely tracky in the I-95 corridor.
Nothing's going to be easy about today. It's just the beginning of the travel nightmare.
Heavier snowfall rates of an inch plus an hour.
To the east of I-95, mostly rain. To the west, in Virginia, West Virginia, Western Maryland, and Pennsylvania, snow, lots of it. 18 inches in Pawpaw, West Virginia, nearly 7 inches in Plainfield, Mass. And lots of reports of thunder snow. While at the major East Coast airports,
today will be about 13 hours if don't get delayed again.
Low ceilings, rain, and fog brought delays and cancellations to New York, Philly, and Washington.
The weather's always an impact at holiday times. It's either raining or snowing.
And as the rain starts to turn to snow in a lot of areas, the roadways are getting a little dicey.
On the highways, snow on I-81 with multiple accidents in Pennsylvania. The state lowered the speed limit on several highways. While on I-95, heavy rain made for slippery conditions. NBC News producer Jay Blackman spent the day driving from D.C. to New Jersey.
It's been raining and snowing a little bit. The visibility's been pretty awful, so we're going pretty slow, but we'll get there at some point.
41 million Americans are driving this Thanksgiving. Cheaper gas is one big reason. Meanwhile, late in the afternoon, bad news at the airports. With snow flying, FlightAware's misery map showing red delays and cancellations spreading. And Thanksgiving is just hours away. So if you have decided to fly tomorrow instead of today, consider yourself lucky. Tomorrow should be the least traveled day of the year. Now the bad news. The most traveled day of the year is Sunday as everybody tries to get home, back to work, and back to school, Brian.
I feared you were going to say that. Tom Costello starting us off Reagan National tonight. Tom, thanks. A major dividing line of this storm happens to be the number one volume stretch of highway in this country, I-95. And roughly, give or take, the weather happening in the east depends on whether you're east or west of 95. Meteorologist Dylan Dreyer is alongside 95 in northern New Jersey outside of New York City for us tonight. Hey, Dylan, good evening.
Hey, good evening, Brian. And I don't know if people left early or if they're waiting until tomorrow to leave after this storm passes, but I've never seen I-95 this free flowing at this time of day, especially the day before Thanksgiving. But either way, this storm is producing rain right along 95 and points to the east. To the west, we're talking about snow. The roads heavily affected, 80, 81, 87, 90. And we will see this storm continue to move up into parts of New England overnight, where up to a foot of snow is still possible, but the whole storm pulls away by Thanksgiving morning. Then we're looking at some brutally cold temperatures back through the Midwest and into the upper Midwest, where temperatures will be about 10 to 20 degrees below average. In Chicago, it'll be the sixth coldest Thanksgiving on record. In the Pacific Northwest, we're talking about rain. Heavy rain in Seattle, where a flood watch is in effect. We'll also see heavy rain back through Oregon. Now, just know that on the backside of these storms, we tend to see a lot of wind. That is not going to happen this time around. So, Brian, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade floats and balloons will be flying high in New York City tomorrow.
We may have a word about that a bit later on. Dylan Dreyer on 995 for us. Dylan, thanks. And back to where we were last night at this time, it's another cold night in Ferguson, Missouri, a city bracing for what could be a third night of violence after that grand jury chose not to indict Officer Darren Wilson for the shooting death of Michael Brown. Last night may have been calmer, relatively speaking, but police still arrested at least 44 people. NBC's Ron Allen remains in Ferguson for us tonight. Ron, good evening.
Good evening, Brian. It has been a better, calmer day and night here, but there's still a lot of tension on this holiday eve. More National Guard troops backing local police has helped, but there are still flashpoints for violence and confrontation. At this explosive street corner, police clash with protesters. Flames reignite the hulk of a building. And Queen Barnes, a retired teacher, hopes the business she spent her life savings to open, now in the path of the fire, is still there come morning.
So how do you feel about all this?
Frustrated and disappointed.
For now, she's giving the young people battling the police every night the benefit of the doubt.
I don't approve this behavior, but after a while, some people think they only can respond with violence.
Now, demonstrators are out day and night from coast to coast, filling the streets of downtown Washington, a major highway blocked in Dallas, nearly 200 arrests in Los Angeles, still demanding justice for Michael Brown. Back in Ferguson, with more than 2,000 National Guard troops called in to back local police, officers dispersed the crowd on that corner, and firefighters doused the flames.
We didn't burn. We didn't get looted.
This morning, no power, a lot of damage from smoke and water, and worry about her seven employees out of work.
This is the biggest weekend outside of going back to school and Christmas.
Can you sustain this?
I don't know. Everything is pretty damaged.
Grateful for surviving another night, Barnes and the other mom-and-pop businesses here secure what they've got left and hope the violence finally stops. Ron Allen, NBC News, Ferguson.
I'm Miguel Almaguer, where tonight on the streets of Ferguson, a sweeping change.
We can repair damage. Hopefully we can repair relationships, too.
The Bailey family and a few of their pint-sized friends are working to make a big difference.
I'm trying to help sweep the sidewalks of Ferguson because people were breaking windows without cleaning up after themselves.
And
it was on this same street corner just a few hours earlier where angry protesters clashed with police. Another night of violence. This time, less destruction, but still plenty of arrests.
Using tear gas tonight, the police response has been swift. They are clearing the streets quickly by any means necessary.
Delana Jones has watched all of it unfold on television and right outside the door of her hair salon. She was looted in August, but it's her children's future she worries will be robbed.
I have to think about my safety and my children's safety and you know, them having to live their lives.
Tonight, small signs of change in Ferguson, a town still reeling.
I feel bad about our community getting destroyed by other people.
But struggling to keep it together.
Tonight, with dozens of businesses still boarded up, many remain shut down, still on this Thanksgiving Eve, they are grateful for what they still have and for their neighbors who are giving a helping hand. Brian.
Miguel Almaguer, Ron Allen before that, our team in Ferguson. Gentlemen, thank you. And while we were in Ferguson yesterday, we met with an extraordinary group of five young men inside a local church. All of them are academic leaders. All of them are current or former captains of their athletic teams. They want to see young people stand up and excel. They hate seeing what's happening to their town. And I ask the question so many have been asking since the night of the raging fires. Folks around the country are all asking, and it's a natural question, why are they burning their own town?
It's a very reactionary response to, of anger, of hopelessness. And I think it's important also to ask, like, why? What brings these people or these people to a place where they can feel so hopeless, feel so angry about the consistent feelings, because it's been a volcano waiting to erupt for my entire life. And it's important to realize the humanity of people, and that anybody in any community can only take so much before the worst happens.
22-year-old Joshua Jones of Ferguson, Missouri. He is currently studying for a master's in social work at St. Louis University. Meantime, the New Yorker magazine's getting some attention with their evocative depiction of the St. Louis Arch. It's on the cover of their new issue. The artist is a St. Louis native. From Washington today, we woke up to news that veteran Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is in the hospital recovering from a successful heart procedure. At 81, she's the eldest member of the court. We get our report tonight from our justice correspondent, Pete Williams.
The Supreme Court says Justice Ginsburg was taken to the hospital Tuesday night after she felt discomfort during one of her regular evening sessions with a personal trainer at the court. Doctors discovered a blockage in her right coronary artery and placed a stent to relieve it. A court spokesman says she's resting comfortably and is expected to be home by the weekend and back at the court on Monday. Justice Ginsburg is 81 and has been on the Supreme Court since 1993, appointed by President Clinton. Some liberal academics have been urging her to step down so that her successor can be appointed by President Obama. She has aggressively pushed back against any such notion.
Who do you think that our president could nominate and get through today's Senate that you would, if anyone could get through, it would not be someone that has my record.
In 1999, Justice Ginsburg had surgery for colon cancer, but returned 17 days later without missing a single day in the courtroom. Nearly 10 years later, at age 75, she was operated on for pancreatic cancer, but again returned to work quickly.
This does change her calculus in the sense that it makes it absolutely certain she won't retire. She has just shown the world that she can take the hits and keep on coming.
Justice Ginsburg's age has not affected her work. Just a month ago, she pulled an all-nighter to issue a dissent at 5 a.m. on a weekend. Pete Williams, NBC News at the Supreme Court.
There was a development today of potential great interest to parents of children with asthma. The EPA is proposing strict new limits on ozone pollution. Causes smog that's linked to lung problems, of course. Many Republicans and some industry leaders are opposing such changes, saying they go too far and in this case will ultimately cost jobs. Still ahead for us on this Wednesday night, the decision a young man made at 16 that would then save another man's life later in life, and the extraordinary moment that completed the circle for two families. And later you may remember the mountain views from the Olympics in Sochi, but wait till you see what they're doing there now. A family is gathering in Minnesota tonight that wasn't really sure how they'd be celebrating this Thanksgiving with an empty seat at the table. They lost their son in a tragedy on his college campus this spring. But a decision he made years ago has created a connection for them that few could ever imagine. We first received this story from our friends at KARE, Care 11 in the Twin Cities. And tonight we get the story from our national correspondent, Kate Snow.
Matthew Heisler was a junior at the University of North Dakota when his parents and sister got the 4 a.m. call last spring. His roommate had dragged him out of a burning house.
He was very tender from a little boy. He was always just, he had a huge heart.
When Matt was 16, he chose to be an organ donor. So when he died, his family was proud to know that someone got his heart.
The heart that I grew up with and like felt in all of my hugs when I hugged him, that it's still out there somewhere.
I see you, Doc.
71-year-old Vietnam veteran Tom Meeks had been waiting for a heart for 3 years.
I'm telling you, I feel awesome.
The first thing he said after waking up from surgery was that he wanted to meet the donor's family.
Obviously, in my case, they're always going to carry a very, very warm spot in my heart.
The Heislers wanted to meet Tom, too, and it finally happened on Monday.
Oh, wow. Hi. You must be kidding.
Cheryl.
One more, Jared.
Oh, man.
They shared stories.
Would you like to listen to your brother's heart?
And then the grandpa of four let Matt's family simply listen. The Heislers and the Meeks allowed a camera into this deeply private moment in the hopes that others might be inspired to become donors, too.
We're all going to listen.
Nearly 124,000 people are currently waiting for an organ. Matt's organs helped as many as 60 people.
Thank you.
And as his father said today, as much as their loss still hurts, meeting the man who got a second chance at life is a reason to be thankful.
That's awesome.
Kate Snow, NBC News, New York.
How's that for a true story of Thanksgiving? And when we come back, the countdown to a national tradition. Next time your airline captain says they're awaiting pushback prior to takeoff, make sure they don't expect you to do the pushing back. That is what happened north of the Arctic Circle in Siberia. After sitting in the freezing cold for 24 hours on the tarmac, a Russian UT Air commuter jet froze to the ground. They needed help from the 74 passengers to get it unstuck and turned around and get it out of there. They were assured the brakes would be fine. After all, what could go wrong? Also in our What Could Go Wrong file, also from Russia, Sochi just remains the headquarters of fun. This is a promotional video for their latest idea, the Sochi Swing. But when watched from this angle, it's more, yikes, like the Sochi free fall. It's a 60-story fall built by the man who invented the bungee jump. And again, what could go wrong? The annual pardoning of the turkey was held at the White House today, and seeing Sasha and Malia Obama alongside their father, the president, on Thanksgiving Eve, many people remarked, as the grandparents would say, how much they've grown, especially when you contrast today with how they looked during Thanksgiving of 09. And you may have heard something lately about this network doing a live production of Peter Pan in primetime on December 4th, something about a girl playing a boy and a nice man playing a pirate with a hook, some lost boys, a real dog, and some wonderful thoughts. Well, tonight we get to see what it all looks like behind the scenes. An hour-long special about how all the magic happens. That's tonight on this station, 8, 7 Central. We are back in a moment with some excited high schoolers who are about to make their TV debut in front of the whole country. This is the only night of the year when inflation is encouraged in a major city. This is the night so many parents hoist so many kids on shoulders to go watch the inflating of the balloons prior to tomorrow's big Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. Tonight, neither the cold nor rain nor snow, and we've got all of it, will keep them away from the holiday tradition. The population of New York City grows by hundreds of thousands each Thanksgiving Day every year, and for a lucky few from each state, they are here to march in the parade, and there's nothing else like it. High school kids from all over this country are here to perform in front of what will be their biggest audience ever. Our report tonight from NBC's Stephanie Gosk.
The giant balloons in Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade make it top billing. But the spirit and the heart of this annual tradition can be found right on the ground. Thousands of band members, cheerleaders, and dancers, most of them high schoolers from across the country, descend upon New York City, turning hotel rooms into dorm rooms. This ballroom is packed with hundreds of cheerleaders, the final dress rehearsal for the group Spirit of America. The only thing more difficult than the routine, those braids.
Is there a reason why it's so complicated?
Well, we have to braid both sides, and then we have to do a poof in the middle, and it all goes to a ponytail.
These high school seniors from Florida can't believe they are here.
I've just experienced so much because it's my first time on an airplane, and my first time for everything.
The week has been packed with rehearsals and lots of sightseeing. One group of dancers braved the weather today and hit the top of the Empire State Building.
We're on top!
And, of course, visited the store that gave the parade its name.
I can't wait to go back to Florida and show all my friends.
It feels cool, like we're in the Macy's. That's in the Thanksgiving Day parade that we always see.
But despite the fun, there are still plenty of butterflies.
Like, is there one thing that you do that you're a little bit nervous about? What is it?
The last part.
Yeah, the last part we kind of like move into a formation, and we haven't like, we haven't perfected it yet.
Five, six.
To make them feel better, all they had to do was watch someone else give it a pathetic stab. Tomorrow, it's for real. A chance to take part in a parade that has become as much a part of Thanksgiving as the turkey itself. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, New York.
You'll see the real thing tomorrow at 9. That's our broadcast on this Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve. Thank you for being here with us. I'm Brian Williams. We hope to see you right back here tomorrow evening. Good night and happy Thanksgiving.